Hello, before we get started today, I want to share something with you about this episode. So this is a Teacher Edition episode, and Rich and I talk about some games we've used in our classroom. We want to let you know ahead of time that we will talk about some games about some sensitive topics. One topic we talk about, World War I, and that is history, but it was still a pretty big event. A lot of tragedy came from that event. And then also I talk about a more recent situation, and that is the very tragic problem that a lot of refugees in our world have to deal with and the challenges they need to overcome and what our world and society can do to help them. So we also talk about that. But the idea of using these games in our classroom, just like we talk to our students about this, is not to necessarily make light of the situation, but to help them understand it a little better. So please keep that in mind as you tune into the episode today. All right, thank you for listening.
Board Gaming with English. This is Board Gaming with English.
Teacher's Edition. Welcome to another episode of Teacher Edition. Today we have just Dustin and
Rich
here. So today we're going to talk about our experience using some games in our classroom. These might not, or actually they are not board games, but just kind of our experience of some ways we've implemented games recently in education. I think I'll let Rich go first because he has a review style game that he's used in his class.
Yeah, and I think you nailed it there, talking about what we did in our classes was like a gamification, you know, making sure that students are able to review but also have motivation within the class period. So like for one of my games, it was, you know, the typical idea of doing a Jeopardy game, but adding some few little quirks to make it a little more exciting because, you know, most of at least my students, since they were in first grade, they've been having the Jeopardy. I think it gets a little tedious after a while. So what mine was called was like World War I review or World War I activity. So basically, like other game boards that you play, you have different rounds. So in the first round, you take an action. You can either... First thing you do is you assign everybody a country that was involved in World War I. So there's England, France, Russia, Germany, Austria, Hungary, Italy, and each of these have like a special ability. Like Italy has plenty of hit points because they have the Alps around them. And Russia, every turn, they lose a hit point because, you know, it's in a civil war during the time. So it helps the students kind of associate that as well. But basically, what students do in their groups, in their countries, they either, in the first round, they either take some money, they decide to attack somebody, or they decide to beef up their defense. And then when everyone decides, they write it down. Then we have a round two. Whoever attacks will show who they attack. And depending on how much attack points they have, the other country loses hit points that way. After, students can also decide to buy some material. So they could buy a tank for like 4 gold, which helps them attack each turn. They could buy mustard gas. And again, it's a way for them to kind of remember what was happening during this time period, and also kind of a fun, interactive thing for them to do. At the end of buying things, we have like this random event that happens, and it could be something like Italy switches sides, America joins the war, Russia's eliminated, something like that that is historically accurate, but also, you know, keeps the game flow going and tries to make it fair as the teacher. And then in the fourth round, you're allowed to write to your ally. So you write a letter and you can't say anything, but you send the letter to one of your allies. So if you are on Russia, your allies would be France and England. If you're on Germany, your allies would be Austria, Hungary, and Italy. But just the overall thing I want you to take out of it is that students seem to really enjoy this because it did give them that competitive nature, And it was also, you know, it was good review for them, I think.
Yeah, that sounds like a lot of fun. I have some questions for you.
Oh, bring it.
Yeah, so...
Thanks, it was hard to lecture that. I didn't know how to go about it. But go ahead, please.
So, in the game, can the students, since they're on certain teams, and we know the outcome of World War One, is there kind of an end to the game? Can you change history playing the game?
You can change history playing the game. I just made it. I'm not like a game board creator type of guy. But I think somehow it seemed that the side that won, the English, the French, the Russians, the Americans, they ended up winning. So
every time?
We only played it 3 times.
Okay. But they won every time?
Yeah, they won every time. Different classes.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Maybe you need a...
Yeah, I was thinking that too. I felt bad.
Yeah. That's okay.
It's Italy. They don't do anything.
It's about them, about the learning, right? Not the actual game exactly. In this case. That's cool. So did you see students retain a lot of the information after playing the game, or how do they use the game to learn or review exactly?
Oh, I forgot the most important part. I'm sorry. So when the students either choose attack or defend, they only could attack or beef up their defense if they get a question right. So I ask them a question. If they get it correct, they're able to attack, or if they get it correct, they're able to increase their defense.
Ah, okay.
And if they collect gold, they don't get a question.
Oh,
does that make more sense now?
Yeah. Well, how do you prevent some countries from getting too rich? Collecting gold.
Let them do it. And people might attack them. Yeah.
Okay. So if they have defense, they basically can stop an attack. Is that right?
Yeah.
So one country answers a question, and they get it right. They have one defense. Then another country answers a question, they attack, but if they attack the country with defense, what happens?
So let's say that, you know, Germany has 4 attack and England has 4 attack. 4 defense.
4 defense. Okay.
So it's like hit points, right?
Right.
So if Germany attacks them, they have 4 punches, basically. So England would lose all 4 of their points and be done.
And they're out?
And they're out.
Oh, no.
But, you know, I want to keep them involved. So the next event, I might say something like, England retaliated and they're back alive with 1 hit point.
Cool. Yeah, that would be... Do you have, like... You can add, like, an event deck to the
the
game?
So I could.
So each round, you draw an event and then maybe...
I kind of just wing it to, you know, keep it fair and to keep everyone activated. I don't know how many of my students listen to the podcast, but actually, I pretended to read something, like, on my computer, and I didn't. I was like, oh, this is happening, and they're like, what? No!
You don't get any students say, teacher, that's not fair!
They don't know.
That's funny. Cool. Okay, so then, how would you, I guess... Reflecting on how it went, and you've done it 3 times now, are there any things you would change or add or take away from it?
I mean, again, I don't know how well I did explaining the game. You can, if any teachers out there want to look at it, please send me a message and I can share it with you. But I do think there's some, you know, minor things, some rules and stuff that I would have to change with it. I also, in the end, which in the 3rd class I did, I'm glad I did. I had the students actually reflect on it and kind of give me feedback on what they thought of it. I wish I did that on the first 2 games because, you know, from my standpoint, I see some students really enjoy it, but then some students, you know, not really into gaming or as competitive as others. So it was good to see the reflections and what they would want to improve.
Yeah, that's cool. I think something I might have to do is ask for student feedback on some of the games I've used.
And going into that, perfect
transition.
Talk
about mine.
Yeah, what game did you use?
So I have 2, but I'm only going to talk about 1. So we'll have a teaser. I've done a negotiation game for my ESL class. And I'm still working out some things on balance with that game. But I think maybe I'll do it again and get some feedback to see how I can make it more fair. The game I want to talk about is a refugee-style game. So it's a very heavy game, heavy emotionally and... There's a lot to the game as well. I would say it probably takes an hour and a half to talk about how to play and to play the game.
When did you use it?
So I did a volunteer teaching. I volunteered to teach at a school, a public school here in Taipei. And the teacher was doing a lesson on refugees. and the experience refugees go through and kind of the history behind it. So I don't have a lot of experience working with refugees. I have a year experience with refugees and immigrants. I worked for a nonprofit called Mary House in DC. It was an awesome nonprofit. Shout out back to back to my old job. So I had some experience, and I can kind of talk about my experience working there and helping families when I was there for the year. But I didn't have enough to talk for 3 hours. The class was for, well, I think the class was like 2.5 hours. So I needed to come up with, well, how do I engage the students on top of lecturing a little bit? So I lectured about my experience, and then we went into playing a game that I had made. The game was pretty extensive. There were 4 actions each group or country would take each round. So the first action would be to discuss and come up with solutions for the country. Each country had like luxury resources, basic resources. The next part or the next phase of the round was travel. So some countries had refugees. And if those countries had refugees, those refugees had to travel to a new country. And in order to travel, those refugees had to take an event. So first they had to take an event by deciding what way to travel, by boat, by foot, or by truck. And based on that, they received an event, and that could be losing resources or getting lost, different things. One event was like receiving fake papers, and you can't find out what that does until the end of the game. But a lot of different layers to it. And then once the refugees found a country to travel to, they had to draw another event to see what kind of impact it has on them and the country. Sometimes the country would lose resources. Sometimes the refugee would lose resources. So that was like the first round. The next round, we had a country event. So that was on top of. So first we have the country event, and then the travel, and then if refugees are accepted to the country. So the game has a lot of other things to it. It's a pretty detailed
complex. Actually, detailed I know it's game. Complex. I use it in my
yeah, you used
let me borrow it.
So if you want, I can send a PPT PowerPoint to anyone interested and kind of explain a little bit more about the game. I'm still working it out, but it wasn't about playing a game. The whole reason I wanted to do this was so that the students can kind of empathize with the situation and empathize with people who don't really have a lot of choices. If you're a refugee, I think it's hard because you can't really decide where you go. And it was really cool to hear a response from a student at the end. And she said, well, I would make a decision, and based on that decision, something would happen. But I didn't really have a choice. I just had to do it and then change my situation based on what happened. And it was cool that she said she was able to kind of feel what a refugee might have to go through.
Can I ask you questions?
Yeah, you can ask me a question.
Oh, I'm full of questions.
Oh, okay.
All right. So I guess, do you think that, you know, your goals of the class was successful? Like you said, you want them to empathize with refugees and learn a little or review a little?
Yeah, like I said, the teacher was doing a unit on refugees. And I didn't have a lot of experience on the history and the complications of the situation currently. I did a little bit of research before the class, but mainly I lectured about my experience, and I also played the game. So, and did a little reflection at the end of the game. So I think it was successful because I did get a lot of feedback, a couple students, how they responded to the game and how they asked questions throughout the lecture too.
Oh, how old were the students, by the way? Were they like university students?
So they were 10th grade.
10th grade, okay.
Yeah, so there's in Taiwan, 10th grade are, I think, freshmen in high school, so the first year high school students. And it was an elective class, so these students are pretty motivated to be there for the most part because they're choosing to study this class. Their English level, for the most part, was pretty high, so they're able to understand most of it because I did lecture in English and the game was in English and they were Taiwanese students. But it was good. I think the game's really good if I'm running it. I think right now I need to make the guidelines more clear if I were to send it to someone else. But if you're interested, let us know. Yeah. I can send it to you if you want to see Rich's review World War One game. Any history teachers out there? Both of these are very history related games. So, but I think we did this episode to kind of show how you can implement a game in your classroom, how you can make it a little bit different than just a review Jeopardy game, add some extra elements like the special powers in Rich's game. You can always add like rock, paper, scissors. In my game, I used dice. So like when an event happened, they could roll a dice. And if they received this number, this happened. But if they got a different number, something else happened. So it added a little element of luck as well. And that's always exciting for students and for anyone playing a game. Anything else to add before we sign off for this teacher edition?
Yeah, I don't have any other questions really for you. But for our audience, I would love if, you know, anyone out there has any game that they did on their own that you can share with our community and with us.
Yeah, I would love to hear from you about any other games.
Me?
No, audience. Whoever's listening.
Really silly joke.
So thank you for listening, and we will see you again. This is our last episode of season 2. So we'll miss you, but we'll be back in just 1 month.
See you all then.
All right. Thank you again for listening to another episode of Board Gaming with English. That was episode number 16 and our last episode of season 2. We'll be back again in 1 month. We're going to take a little summer break. And just so you know, if you are in Taiwan and you have any kids, we are running a board games and robotics summer camp this summer. So be sure to check our Facebook page for information about that if you are interested. And as always, thank you for listening. We love to hear from you, so come leave us a message on Facebook, or you can always email us at dandr@boardgamingwithenglish.com. All right, thank you.
Do I have other questions?
I don't know. Do you?
Not really. Let me think. I should ask like one more at least, huh?
No, that's right.
How long?
You can just say it. Well, I don't have any other questions, but if you...
I'll ask another question.
Okay.
Surprise question.
Surprise question.
Maybe something like...